I was trying to make it easy. Give it to Carol. Okay. So either Candy or Carol will be able to do that, okay? All right. All right, you rowdies in the back. They must not be able to hear me. So the lilies are available for a small donation of $5. If you'd like to take one home with you today, just do that. Give your money to Carol or Candy and take care of that. Also, next Sunday, our missionaries Larry and Jean Johnson will be here from, they've been in China, they've been in Canada, they've been, but they're in Detroit right now. So anyway, they're going to be here next Sunday. You will love them, they love you, and you'll truly enjoy what they bring. So I encourage you to come back and be a part of that as well. Also, just keep in mind, your calendar has activities for the week, so keep that in mind as well. Is there children's church today, or did they already leave? Nothing? Okay, all the kids get to stay with us. So, all righty. Well, turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Where we're going. For those of you that don't come to New Life Fellowship regularly, I want to encourage you to take your Bible to church, otherwise your pastor can lie to you. Doesn't hurt to keep him in line, isn't that right? I've had people come up and I've said things just a tad bit wrong, and they said, did you mean to say that? It's like, no, good thing you caught that, because I didn't catch it. So sometimes we need to be corrected just as much as anybody. So I encourage you to take your Bible to church and find out what the pastor's saying, make sure he or she is saying it correctly. It's a good thing. Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Very important scripture. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. My title this morning is this: Jesus already died. Have you? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. Lord, it's the Holy Spirit's work that he loves to do, is to unveil, reveal the word of God to us. Lord, it's our heart's desire to understand. Lord, we don't want to just be hearers only. We want to be doers. So for us to be a doer, we have to understand. And so, Holy Spirit, we welcome you here to reveal and unveil the word of God to us, that we might comprehend and understand what it is you have for us, for each of our individual lives, as well as us as corporately as a church. And so, Father, we ask, Lord, that you would just direct this time that I share. Lord, I pray that I would not speak of my flesh, but I would speak the things of the Spirit, that I would share the things that you revealed and shared with me, that we too may all grow and mature and become all that you had in mind. So thank you, Lord God, for what you're going to do this morning. Thank you for your work, and we give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when we celebrate, we realize the cross is empty and the grave is empty. Isn't that right? Jesus was crucified on the cross, and because he was crucified, he now was buried, but the grave didn't hold him there, so the grave is empty. Now he's seated at the right hand of the Father, isn't he? Now, when he's seated down at the right hand of the Father, the Bible says in Hebrews, it says, when he sat down, he said, it was finished. Everything's been done that needed to be done. That means from the beginning of life to the end of life, everything that you and I would ever need or anybody in the world would ever need has already been purchased. There's this warehouse of things that have been purchased by the hand of God to what? To come down from heaven to help you and I to live the life that he called us to live. Now, obviously, through the Word of God today, we realize that God did not call us to live a sinful lifestyle. He didn't call us to keep doing our own thing. He didn't call us to only accomplish what we want to do. We are here by design to accomplish what it was created to do. That projector hanging from the ceiling right here projects the words and music and song up there. It's doing what it was created to do. But it's very frustrating when you push the button and nothing happens. Isn't it? All of a sudden your world goes, okay, now what do we do? Because it's not working like it was created to do. But guess what? God created you and I to work for him. He created you and I to be in his kingdom, to be in his world, to accomplish the purpose of why I was designed and why you were designed for his kingdom. Now, yes, you can go off and do your own thing, but I promise you that will lead you to death. Maybe not so much physical death, but spiritual death. And the reason I say that is because anytime you and I do our own thing apart from God, God is not pleased. And God did not die or send his son Jesus to die on the cross for you and I to go off and do our own thing. He designed you and I to live this life that honors and pleases him. Like Paul wrote to the Romans, he says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? No, we shouldn't. Because once we come in relationship with God, there's now this work of the cross where Jesus was crucified. He took all my sin, all my sickness, all my disease, all my thoughts, all the worries, all the fears, all the hate, all the jealousy, all the envy. He took all of it upon his body and was crucified on the cross. Therefore, he has victory over everything that you would ever experience in your entire life, no matter how good or bad it is. And because of that, he now sits in the throne room of heaven, and out of the throne room, Psalms 46 says that there is a river that never runs dry. Why does it never run dry? Because God never runs out. He always has enough. He always has plenty. So this morning, I want to encourage you that if you trust Jesus Christ, I promise you, and God's word promises you, that you will never run dry of anything that you need. Oh, I promise you there'll be some challenges times. There will be some difficult days, but all that does is builds character in you and I. Did I say that right? You and me. Sorry. For all you English majors, sorry about that. I can kind of see who that's really important to, yes. Did you notice where my look went? It's like, if I'd had her as an English teacher, I'd have paid a lot more close attention. I think my teacher's cute. Now you know why I didn't learn anything in school. No, I shouldn't say that. Okay, moving right along. But he said, shall we go on sinning? No, why? Because God has given us great gift of the Holy Spirit to empower you and I, you and me. Old habits are hard to break. but they're not impossible. But he wants to accomplish something in us that is far beyond what we've lived up to this point. So once you come to know Jesus Christ, you'll never be the same. You should never be the same. You should always be changing in your mind, in your heart, in your will, in your actions. Everything about you should begin to change. Why? Because that's what God's word says happens to those that follow him. See, if I don't obey God's word, I'm really not pleasing to him. You can be pleasing to mankind all you want, but if you're not pleasing to God, you're wasting your time. You're literally wasting your time because God looks at it as if it's dung, if it's manure. It's of no value to anybody but a garden. So the reality is that God isn't interested in that thing. He wants something else. So he says, by no means, verse 2, we died to sin, so how can we live in it any longer? In other words, once I come to know Jesus Christ because of what he did on the cross through his life, death, and resurrection, now I have a new way of living because I'm under new management. I'm under new authority. I've given my life to him, and now I say I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. If Christ lives in me, then it's very important that we learn how Christ lived. And if I don't live the way Christ wants me to, then there's only one person wrong in the equation, and that's me. It's not God. God is never going to be wrong. He's always going to be right. But here's the thing. We've got a lot of people saying they're Christians in this life, and they're not demonstrating anything that looks Christian. So if I came into your house, and I was a delivery guy for UPS, driving a Speedy's truck, what would you think? Guy's got the wrong vehicle. Why? Why would that cause a red flag to you? Because anyone that is hired by a company wants them to represent exactly what that company represents. Well, guess what? Jesus is no different. When we claim him as Lord, King, and Master, guess what? Now he wants you and I to begin to live in such a way that literally represents who he is. So then I have to be careful what I listen to. I got to be careful what I say. I've got to be careful what I do. Because if I don't accomplish the things that are honorable to him, then does it really reflect him? No. So therefore, we got to be very careful about what we call ourselves and what we actually act like. In God's word, he's not limited to help me overcome the things that I used to do in my life that I need no longer to do. So then he says in verse 3, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may what? Live a new life. That's amazing to me. So now I invite Jesus Christ into my life. He becomes my Savior. Now what he's saying in Scripture is that when I go through baptism, I lay down in the water, the watery grave, a literal old Jeff Capel, and when I rise up, I rise into a new Jeff Capel that is designed to live like Jesus Christ. That's my crucifixion, my death and burial, and my resurrection with Jesus. All of that is important because you want to identify with everything that he did. How in the world are you going to live a new life? Change the color of your hair? That might help. No. It might change something, but it doesn't change the inside. So what is God really interested? He told the Pharisees and the Sadducees everything that was going wrong with him. Why? Because they were so consumed with what was on the outside. They couldn't wait to get the applause and the praise of men. But God was going, oh, you guys are a stench in my nostrils. You guys are nothing but dead man's bones in the casket. I mean, that's pretty serious indictment coming from God. So the reality is that when I come to live this new life, when I receive him into my life, then I go through the death, burial, and resurrection of water baptism, which now puts new clothes on me. I'm clothed with Christ. If you've never been water baptized, I encourage you to do that. Go home and do it in your own bathtub tonight. You don't need me to do it. You can do it right there. And you can lay yourself down in the water and resurrect and say, this is my new clothing that had been resurrected with Christ. And so therefore, you can begin to experience this new clothing that God brings. Now, is there anything particular about water? Mostly you get wet. Really, you do. I'm not kidding. No. But really what it is, it's a laying down, it's a commitment of your verbal commitment to receive Jesus Christ. Now there's this death, burial, and resurrection in water that you rise to live this new life. You're now clothed in Christ. And now the work of the Holy Spirit that's in you begins to overrule and tell your flesh, tell your mind, and tell your heart how to live this new life. And all of that was purchased through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. If you want to experience and know what God is really saying, these are some powerful steps that you and I can take because God's word says so, not because I say so. You don't need my opinion. You didn't come here this morning to hear my opinion. I'm here this morning literally to help each and every one of us, including myself, understand that when I lay my life down, I resurrect and live a new life, and it's very important that I learn to do it things God's way. I told you this story, but I kind of like it because it's really funny. Probably over a month ago now, my wife and I didn't see things eye to eye. And the reason was is because she's not as tall as I am. I know. See, he laughed twice. That's pretty good. I got him twice. No, but the reality was is that because of that, I began to pull away from my wife. And God came to me specifically and said, who taught you to do that? Because I didn't. And I went, have you talked to her about this yet? No, God didn't teach me to love my wife that way. And he was asking me, if you're going to represent me, then why are you doing this? Because that's not me. And I went, oh, okay. So the reality is, if you're going to live this new life, all of a sudden what he says goes. You don't give him a whine and complaint and say, well, Lord, you know, she's got five things above me that are worse than what I've been doing. You don't give him all this reasoning of why. When God speaks to you directly, it's time to change some things. So I literally had to just take my will and my desires and I had to flip them. And I had to start doing what God told me to do rather than demonstrating he never taught me to do. And I tell you, that has literally been a powerful thing in my life lately. And don't ask my wife for a second opinion on that, but... So the reality is that when Jesus comes into me, there's this change, there's this new way of living. If there's not, be very careful what you confess with your mouth. Don't go around confessing that you follow Jesus Christ if you literally don't. Because all you're doing is trying to get the applause of man rather than the applause of God. And when God looks at Jeff Capel, if he's not pleased, he's given me this knower inside of me called the Holy Spirit that will literally transform and change my life. Why? Because that's what the Holy Spirit's job is to change me into the work of his Son, Jesus Christ, so that when I say I live for Jesus, when I say I believe in Jesus, when I do things for Jesus Christ, it looks like him, it smells like him, it tastes like him, and it is like him. That's what he longs for. So there's a work in me that'll never be done until I go home and I die. There's a work in you that'll be the same. God will continue to want to work inside of you these things because we are no longer to live for ourselves. We are to live this new life. Verse 5, he says, if we have been united with him like this in his death. Okay, get this. Crucified, boom, 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 pierced, crown of thorns. If I've been crucified with him and I have been buried with him, then one day I'll resurrect with him when he calls my name. If I'm not crucified with him, if I'm not buried with him, I may not resurrect to be with him. Don't fool yourself. Don't listen to somebody that's not going to tell you the word of God. Because the word of God is very, very specific. He said, let me remind you, verse 5, if we have been united with him in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him. Was meaning it's already taken place. It's not something yet to be taken place. It is something that did take place. In his resurrection, verse 6, for we know that our old self was crucified. The old Jeff Capel was crucified. He was buried. He was resurrected. Now, is there parts of me that still resurrect? Oh, yeah. So what do you do when that happens? You go back to the cross and you say, no, I crucify you. You are no good for my life. You're no good for my family. You're no good for Jesus Christ. Therefore, I kill you. I destroy you. You will have no authority in me now. And you kill it. Why? Because you want to kill anything that rises above you, rises above in you so great that it really takes away from what Christ did in you. That's the power of the cross. It literally has the power to be crucify any sin that would try to creep into your life and take control of your life. For we know, verse 6, that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with and that we should no longer be slaves to sin. If you're a slave to sin this morning, Jesus can't wait to set you free. You might say, oh no, I've asked him way too many times and it hasn't happened yet, so he must not want to help me. Of course he wants to help you. He hates sin. He loves you. And he can't wait to see you be victorious over anything that is taking you away from him. Can you think about this just for a moment? If we don't want Jesus Christ to rule in our flesh here on this earth, why would you want to spend eternity in heaven with him? If he's not good enough to serve now, what makes you think that you're going to enjoy heaven? Because everything God gives you today comes from heaven. And if I don't really want to enjoy what he wants to give me during this life, what in the world do you want to go to heaven for? Why not enjoy everything that he wants to bring you now? And heaven will just be like icing on the cake. It'll be so amazing. I'll never forget when my dad passed away. The night before he passed away, he came back and he said, I went to heaven last night. And it's like, really? And he said, yeah. And I said, what was it like? And my dad doesn't talk in flowery terms, but he said, the flowers were so beautiful. If anybody know Belden, beautiful was not a part of his vocabulary. But in our vocabulary, it was the best he could do to try to explain what he saw. And I tell you what, it's going to be so amazing in heaven. But the only way you can get to heaven is if you die now. You have to die to yourself, allow Jesus Christ to resurrect in you and live through you so that when that day does come, you can enjoy the work that he wants. Verse 7. Or finish verse 6. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with. That we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Cool stuff, ain't it? Verse 8. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. That's your replica for how you and I should live. The death we die once to our flesh. We die, we overcome that, and now we resurrect to live this new life, and we live it to God. We live it for God. We live it with God. It's enjoyable to live with God. Why? Because there's victory over the things this world wants to condemn you with. And I'm sorry to say, our world is awesome at feeding your flesh, but it's horrible at feeding your spirit. You ever notice that people that live in the world say they have so much fun for a few short years, but you know, eternity in hell is an awful long time to burn. Just for a few short years here. I'm serious. So don't think that this is all there is to life and that you're going to miss out, because if you think you're missing out, because you want to live with the world, I promise you, eternity will be an awful long time for you to burn in torment in hell, every place where the devil and his angels, I don't think the devils and his angels are really going to enjoy hell that much. Neither will you and I if we end up there. So we don't want to go that route. We want to live our lives in a way that pleases God. Verse 11, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do you know that you have a part to play in that? Jesus Christ did all he did on the cross. He accomplished so much, and it's all available. It's in a warehouse ready to be poured out from heaven to you and I, but you and I got to make a choice of whether we're going to live for him or we're going to live for the devil or ourselves. We like to live for ourselves, don't we? We got to be honest. We like to make ourselves happy, but the reality is I have an audience of one this morning. There's only one person I need to please, and it's not you. There's an audience of one that you have to please this morning, and it's not me. The audience of one is Jesus Christ himself. And whatever I do, if it pleases him, guess what? I've got all of heaven backing me up. All of heaven backing me up, backing you up, so that we can accomplish this work. He says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. So when the Holy Spirit comes and convicts Jeff Capel, when he comes and says, Jeff, guess what? That which you just thought, that which you just said, that which you just did was not honoring to me. What's my first reaction supposed to be? I repent, Lord. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Wash me. Allow me to never step down that road again. Allow me to be empowered by your Spirit so that I can live that new life that you were called to, that I was called to, that you want me to lead, you want me to follow, that I can begin to do these things. He says, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Therefore, if you're in bondage to an area of sin, isn't sin amazing? You ever notice that sin is like babies? Can I have Mila just for a second? Come here. I guarantee you, she likes me, that's the best part about this. But when she's little like this, do you think I could make Mila do just about anything? Why? Because it's small. The Bible says, sin when it is small, in James chapter 1, you'll read this, sin when it is small, it's easy to take care of. It's easy to hide. It's easy to kind of come and go as you desire. But then, now I'll give you back. Come here, Callie. Come on up here. No, just kidding. Now when she gets big, how much more difficult is it to control her? Yeah, she got attitude. Now it's a lot harder to get control. Now it's a lot harder to, all of a sudden, there's times when she makes me say uncle. Did you catch that? Sin, when it is small, is easy to take care of, but when it gets too big, it'll tell you how to behave. And then you're in trouble. Why? Because you no longer have mastery over it. It has mastery over you. So that's why the Bible says, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Let me give you an example. Thank you. In the middle of the night, there are times in my life where a Snickers candy bar becomes so great in me, I would be willing to drive to town and get one. I'm not kidding you. There's nothing sweet in the house, and I can't find no chocolate chips or nothing that matches anything close. I'm ready to go to town in the middle of the night. Why? Because I have given it liberty that I keep on telling myself, man, Snickers are so good. Man, every birthday party or every birthday I see on Facebook, it's like, well, celebrate with the Snickers because there's no better way. I mean, come on. I mean, it's just I've fed that to myself to the point where my flesh, if it had the ability, would dictate to me and say, Jeff, drive to get one. Now, how powerful is a Snickers candy bar? It only has authority over me because I give it authority. And I submit my flesh to it. Therefore, sin, when it is small, is easy to take care of, but when it's big, it's way more challenging. Therefore, it doesn't mean that it's not conquerable, it just means that it's gotten too big for your britches. Therefore, you have to allow the Holy Spirit to come and do a deep work in you to get rid of that very same thing. So he says, verse 13, do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death, crucifixion, death, resurrection, to life. Now he's brought me to this new way of living, but offer yourselves for that which you have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. I now become this instrument. I now become this tool that God can use in his kingdom to do something way greater than I could do by myself. That's called living for Jesus. That's called life abundant. That's called living a life with purpose. Why? Because in Jesus Christ, he's the only one that can bring you purpose, because he designed you to bring purpose to this world. Now, that doesn't mean that all of you are going to be pastors, teachers, evangelists, prophets, apostles, whatever, missionaries. That doesn't mean God's going to ask you to do that. What he's going to ask you to do is continue to do what God has called you to do, and that might be your present job you're doing right now, but in the process of the present job you're doing, he wants you to be a mouthpiece and act in such a way that when people watch you, it's like, boy, there's something different about them. They don't act like the world. They don't act like other people I know. They have a difference in them. Why? Because you're no longer living for yourself. You're living for him. Let me ask you, why are you here today? Because if you're not here to live for him, you're wasting your time. Let me be honest with you. If you're not living your life for Jesus, it's a big waste of time. And I don't say that degradingly. I'm just saying factually from God's word. The Bible says in Psalms, he says, my hand goes with the righteous, but my hand is against the wicked. Who are the wicked? Comes from the word wicker, where it's twisted, wicker, when it's twisted. All we do is we take God's word and we twist it to kind of fit our lifestyle. Now we've become this wicked instrument that says one thing but does the opposite. And all of a sudden God's hand is against us, and we wonder why God's hand's against us. Because it's not honoring and pleasing to him. Therefore, the only way to get untwisted is to come to the cross and allow ourselves to be crucified. I crucify my way of thinking, my way of seeing, my way of hearing, my way of saying things, my way of doing things, and I crucify myself. I allow myself to be buried in the water of baptism, resurrected to live a new life for Jesus Christ. That's what he wants to do. So now there's this work that needs to happen inside of me, this work that needs to happen inside of you, to become this instrument that pleases God. We got to go clear back up there. Verse 13, do not offer parts of your body as sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. Offer the parts of your body as instruments of righteousness, for sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. Anybody speed on the way to church today? We got a few honest people. Yeah. Oh, did you see? I saw that. That was funny. It's amazing what you can see from up here. But there's a sign along the road that tells you what to do. How come you didn't obey it? Because the law doesn't work. The law doesn't work. It does work some of the time, but it doesn't work all the time, does it? So now, because of God's mercy, you and I can have grace that empowers you to go home the right speed. Because the highway patrol could be just sitting right up here. And when you get a ticket, he might not have mercy on you because you know better. So God, when he looks at us, he has mercy on us. He didn't give us what we rightfully deserve. And because of his mercy, now I have this inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God's word, that lives inside of me that causes me to be empowered to do what is right in his kingdom. Does God really care about the speed limit? I'm not really sure. I'm just using it for an example. It is a law of our land, and if you do follow it, I think it's a good idea. Unless you got money that you want to give away, then I'll take it and give you the same return. I'll give you a ticket. You don't have to go to the courthouse or nothing. But the reality is that God didn't give us what we deserve, but out of his mercy, he now empowers me with his grace. Titus 2:11, for his grace has empowered me to live an upright, self-controlled, godly life in this present age. I don't need this grace in heaven. I need his grace here and now. Therefore, you and I can enjoy the work that God wants to bring, and we can live this new life all because of what we celebrate today, the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross is empty. The grave is empty. Now it's time for you and I to live. Why don't you stand with me? Let's pray. Some of those sausages are sitting pretty heavy right now, I can tell. You know, there's a couple things that you can decide today. First of all, evaluate where you're at with your life. Are you literally living for Jesus Christ or are you not? Just be honest. Don't try and fake it because God can see right through your mask. You can fool us all day long and that's fine, but you will never fool God. So this morning, because of what he did, I pray that you and I can learn to take seriously the things that he did on the cross. So much that it literally transforms us and changes us. And I pray that today's an awesome day for you and I. You and me. Sorry about that. If you have never asked the Lord Jesus Christ into your life, you know, today might be something you want to consider. But before you make that decision, I want to warn you. When you make the decision to follow Jesus Christ, it's going to cost you something. Not so much financially, but it's going to cost you your thoughts and your ways. You're going to learn to live a new way, and it's going to change who you are. It's going to change what you become. And I'll promise you, not everybody around you is going to be excited. You're going to lose some friends, or what you thought were friends. And you're going to begin to live differently than what you maybe see in the norm. Why? All because of what Jesus did for you. And I'm not saying that's easy or hard. I'm saying that's going to be a reality that's going to take place. So the Bible says to weigh carefully the decisions you make. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Don't say you're going to follow Jesus today and then walk away from him a week from now. Be very diligent about evaluating your choice to follow Jesus Christ. And if that's something you would love to do this morning, you can do it in your chair, you can come to the altar. You really don't need anybody to pray with you because you know that what you're doing is wrong, so just come and talk to him and say, Lord, forgive me. And he will help you and he'll accomplish that. And secondly, this morning, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you just might feel like you're losing hope or you're getting weak, boy, he wants to encourage you today. If you look all at what Jesus went through, he didn't do it so that you could be overcome by the things that come against you. But like Joseph, like Daniel, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, like Paul, like Silas, like Timothy, all the things they came up against never overwhelmed them to the point of leaving God. They always hung through the difficult days. You might be facing difficult days today, but I want to encourage you. Spend some time with him. Get empowered. Get encouraged. Get built up so that you can stand whatever you're facing. Yes, you're going to walk through valleys and you're going to walk through difficult times, but it will never overcome you because God is greater. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He knows how to be victorious over all those things. So trust him today, I encourage you. Father, this morning, as we come to a close this morning of celebrating life with you, I thank you, Lord God, that as we celebrate, we too can enjoy this life that you've called us to. We'll enjoy the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit, doing in us and working through us that which you need done. So, Lord, what we said earlier is true. When you speak, we'll listen. What you say, we will do. And we'll do it exactly when you want it done. Because that's submission. That's submitting to authority in our lives. And so, Lord, I pray that if that is a decision that some need to make here this morning, I pray that it goes deep into their heart, deep into their life, where it literally becomes evident in how they live, how they talk, how they think. So, Lord, it's a work that only you can do. So, Holy Spirit, have your way this morning. Holy Spirit, have your way. Speak clearly to each and every one of us. Show us those things which we need to know. And we'll continue to give you praise, glory, and honor for the work that you want done. So that at the end of this day, you can look back and say, well done, good and faithful servant. So, Lord, we want to thank you for what you're going to do in our lives from this moment on. Lord, as we travel to family and friends today, thank you for your protection. Thank you for your direction. Thank you for the good times of laughing and having a great time and rest. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask you to lead us. Lead on. Lead on, Lord, lead on. And we'll be sure to give you all the praise and the glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen. If you would like prayer, I'd love to pray with you. If you have to leave, we pray blessing on you. Thanks for coming this morning, and continue to be an encouragement to your family. So make sure you're friendly as you go, and have a great Easter. If you need